Scriptures come at this time. Luke chapter 21. Would you turn there, please? I want to give this sermonette before we close the service tonight. Luke chapter 21. Endure and possess your souls. Endure and possess your souls. The book is Luke. The chapter is 21. And the verse of the text is 19. In your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience, possess ye your souls. God is going to use this message tonight to help a few people. The word patience in the Greek here, for there's two different words, Greek words we translate patience, does not mean just standing by waiting patiently. It means a steadfast, constant endurance. It means to accept the situation in faith and trust in God with a calmness of heart, willingly enduring for an internal purpose, no matter what happens. The text that is before us prophesies persecution, even death for some. Yet in the text, Christ promises, in verse 18, not a hair of your head shall perish. Now he said that after promising much tribulation and persecution, even death for some. The Greek idea is not that you will lose no hair over this persecution or death, but rather, and as God means it, no hair shall fall unnoticed by God or without an ample reward. You shall suffer no loss of well-being in the final analysis. But that's the Greek meaning, apolumai, is not to suffer loss of well-being. And of course, we're talking about in the eternal purpose. It means that God will be with you to the very last hair of your head, and you will be duly compensated for every hill that falls, every injury that comes to you. That means that nothing will happen to you without God's permission and His will and His care. You will not end up with a loss or with a minus. Therefore, Jesus comforts those that will be going through great trial, and He admonishes them to be steadfast in faith, hope, and patience. Endurance. For by doing so, he says, you shall possess your souls. He didn't say you shall have a soul, because you already have a soul, but you shall possess your souls. If you possess something, you are the owner of it. He means you shall be the owner of your soul, meaning you shall have control over your soul. If you own something, you have control over it. You shall have control over your soul. There are some who translate it, shall win your soul. And yet, Darby, for example, says, there's nothing in the Greek that really says that, but rather shall possess it as an owner of that soul. That is, you shall remain in charge and gain mastery over your soul. Win the fight with the devil for your soul, even if you are dying and in tribulation and distress. Now, some of you are infirm. Some of you are crippled. Some of you are in wheelchairs. Some of you have diabetes. Diabetes, or you have hypoglycemia. Some of you are too thin because of a problem within the body. Some of you are much too overweight, and it's a real, real hard struggle for you to overcome that and to live with it as well. Some of you are retarded. Some of you have learning disabilities like dyslexia. Some of you may have a hair lip, cleft palate, speech impediment. Some of you are without love in your family. Some of you are on welfare. Some of you are in pain. Some are elderly. Some of you ladies are without a husband and pining for one, needing one desperately. Some of you are without dates. Some of you are without a husband or a wife. Some of you have unsaved mates. Some of you have an unsatisfactory marriage. Some of you are living in poor living conditions. Some with hurts and deep wounds in your soul. Some of you are without esteem by others or looked down upon. Some with deep psychological problems. Some of you are unappealing in body. Some of you have personalities that have not been developed to be pleasing to others. Some of you even hate yourself. Some of you are in bitterness. You're going through great difficulties. Now, what will you do? What will you do? Give up? Turn your face to the wall? Go into a shell? Go into deep self-pity? Get angry at the world? Blame the church? Blame God? Blame your friends? Hate yourself? Become a leech or a ward on society and the church? Fight the system? Become rebellious? Become bitter? Backslide? Lie to yourself? Open up to demonic spirits? Go into mental insanity? Acquire demon help? Many people do those things when in those conditions. This only leads to a loss of command of your own soul. It leads to a loss, great loss. God's answer is, be steadfast in love, patience, faith, hope, and life in soul and spirit. God's answer is, with endurance, possess your soul. With great endurance, endure patiently and control your soul. Will you believe what God says is the best answer? For what hope is there to blame yourself and the world and God? Then what? What does that do for you? To withdraw into a shell and become incommunicative, what does it do? To turn off love and to love no one nor receive love, what does it do for you? All these things are psychological suicide. Accept what and where God has allowed you to have and to be. Realize that where you are has been allowed by God, or you would not be there. I didn't say ordered by God, I said allowed. He said he will not allow to come upon you more than you're able to bear. And he means taking all the provisions that are open for you, meaning God himself as your provider. And if you will lean upon him and take his provision, no distress will be greater than you are able to bear. Although at the time it may seem to you that it will be or is, but you're still bearing it. Seek to overcome enticement from the pit at this time. This is the time that voices will beckon from the pit. Find your joy in the Lord, regardless of your physical, natural, or financial distress. Let God work for good in all things. Let the Spirit of God strengthen you in your trial. Don't give in to a melancholy spirit of the devil. Work diligently to climb out of the gloom. Work diligently to rise out of the circumstance by following God's principles. Have hope and trust in God. And finally, make the best of what you have and cannot change. Make the best of it. Whatever you've got, make the best of it. Soldiers of the cross, if you lose your rifle in warfare, make the best use of your pistols. If you lose your sword, resort to your dagger. Don't fall down and give up and let the enemy cut you to pieces. Endurance leads to eternal reward. Accept the purpose of the trial and overcome in your spirit. God has allowed trials, even fiery trials, to beset his people, that he might teach them to call upon him and be dependent upon him and then be beholden to him and in debt to him and to love him and to serve him and to see his power and glory, that he might manifest himself and that you might be strengthened in faith and become strong and be able to succor others and to be able to become valiant in the fight and to be steady in God, whether fair winds are blowing or the foul storms of life. Therefore, God has allowed fiery trials to come your way. Look at the book of James. I want to read a few scriptures, please. James chapter 1. I think the thing that does more Christians in than anything else is failing to remember that God has allowed the trial to come your way. That the devil can bring nothing upon you except he pass through the permission of God. Failing to recognize there is a reason and a purpose in allowing the test in the first place, and failing to recognize that there is something good that can be gained from having that trial. And that there is a challenge before you to overcome, and you can be strengthened if you will take the proper attitude. James chapter 1 and verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have her perfect work. It's a work. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, if you let patience have its way and work and work and work in your life, even though you want to fly the coop, even though you want to bolt, even though you want to charge and throw yourself around like a bull in a china shop, though you want to race off in the horizon or run down and drown yourself in the sea like lemmings, if you will be steadfast in your faith, in your patience. The patience will work that ye may be complete, not having want of anything. It will build something in you. Apostles of strength and faith and might are typically men who can endure. Not fussy, willy-nilly, wishy-washy, up and down, back and forth, in and out, crybabies who fall to pieces at the first thing. That is not how you envision the Apostle Paul. Men of God, men of strength, men of courage, men that God calls for great tasks, men that you admire, are men that stand when things go good and when things go badly. Men that stand with guts, as it were. Men who can hold themselves and not collapse and charge God foolishly. And will not attack the world, but will continue steadfast with a calmness and a peace in the heart, though those storms rage against them. Not being unaffected, but setting your face. You know, you can do that. That's right, you can do that. You can do a lot of things if you want to bad enough. Father was visiting my brother down in Boise a good many years ago. He had a horrible toothache. And he asked, Bob took him down to the dentist. The dentist says, badly abscessed tooth, can't save it. It's no wonder it's killing you. We're going to have to pull it. My father said, I don't want any Novocaine. I have problems with Novocaine. Pull it without Novocaine. He said, man, we can't do that. He said, yeah, you got the equipment to do it. Just do it. He said, that's inhumane. He said, and I said, Father said, well, that's what I want you to do, pull it. He said, that's how they used to torture Christians. My father said, well, I'm a Christian. Pull it. And he turned to Bob and he said, what should I do? He said, you can't do this. He said, do as he tells you. And so he put that thing on and began to crank it around, you know, and work it around and yank it out. And the dentist in amazement said, wow, you never even felt it. And he said, your foot, I didn't feel it. But you see, he didn't let out a scream that brought the police for 12 miles because he set himself. See, but it hurts. Yeah, sure it does. But he set himself. You know, you can do a lot of things you think you can't do if you set yourself. 2 Thessalonians, have you turned your... Okay, 2 Thessalonians, keep your finger in James, we're coming back. 2 Thessalonians 1. Verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Right now you're going through troubles. But rest with us when the Lord comes. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace about God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at James chapter 5. We're going to read verses 8 through 11. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the presence of the Lord draweth nigh. That's what the Greek says. Presence. Parousia. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judgment standeth before the door. Be patient. Don't grudge one another. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. He didn't say we count them happy which suffer, but which endure. Suffering with the right attitude. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and full of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, and so forth and so forth. And then, you see, Job went through horrible, horrible afflictions, pain. But through much endurance, he received double fold. What if he had not endured patiently? What if he had done as his wife said, curse God and die? If that's how he's going to treat you, well, curse him and die. Turn your back on him if that's the way he's going to be. See, that is what you call lack of knowledge. Foolishness, folly. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I think when that happened, God turned to Satan and said, you see that? You hear that? You said, I put this on him and he'll curse God. And I put this on him and he said, though I slay him, yet will he trust me. Do you hear that, Satan? You see? This man's going to make it. And you're going to be found alive. And if he does not do as you say and curse me, if he does, he's done. You can have him. But if he doesn't, I am going to bless him twice as much as before. And everyone that's righteous, that trusts me in patient endurance without blaming me, I am going to give twice as much, and you're going to lose more and more. If you turn out right, you got them. If you turn out wrong, they're going to get twice as much. I mean, I think we ought to consider these things. These things are not said this way for nothing. Moses became very impatient at the murmuring of Israel, and he smote the rock twice in his great impatience. And for that, he had to leave the table, go out, bring in the kindling, go to bed without a supper. In other words, you went up to Mount Nebo and died. Naaman became impatient by the conditions posed by the prophet. He did not want to have to go to Jordan and dip seven times in that muddy water. He said the rivers of Abana and Pharpar in Syria are much better rivers than this. I didn't come all the way down here as a great leader just to go off to that muddy river and go dip, dip, dip seven times. I came down here for you to put your hand on it and smite it. And here I come and I expect, you know, a little bit of kowtowing. I'm a leader. And what does he do? I come all the way down here. I make a whole day's journey, and the prophet won't even come out and see me. He sends his Gehazi out. He sends his servant out. And the servant runs in and says, what should he do? And he says, you go tell him to do that. He comes out and says, well, he told you to do that. He didn't even give me an audience. He said, I've had it. I'm leaving. And he started back. He started back without any healing. He didn't have patience to do what he was asked to do. And his servant said, now listen, if he asked you to do some great big super thing to get a miracle, wouldn't you have done it? All he asked you was a little thing. Can't you do the little thing? Of course, you know the story when he thought better of his actions. Jonah became impatient under that God allowed to wither away, and he began to complain against God. Martha became impatient with Mary when she wouldn't help set the house in order, but wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. Abraham became impatient with the famine in Canaan when he got there, and he turned around and went down into Egypt, almost lost his life. He became impatient for the lack of son, and he produced Ishmael. But finally, in his final burst of faith and patience, he held and produced the seed of the Messiah. Job, as you know, became impatient with his boils. He complained of his lot in life, but he held fast to God, and finally he came around and held even his patience. And in the end he said, once I have spoken, yea, twice I have spoken. I'll put my hand in my mouth, I abhor myself, I will speak no more. He finally learned not to answer God and complain. God treated him a little roughly, it seems, you know, in the natural. For a man going through that kind of sickness, to treat him that roughly. And God said, I am going to answer you, and I demand that you answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Do you know all about the winds and the currents, what causes the calves to hind to calve, and all these other things? And he went on and on and on and on and on. And he said, now rise and answer me like a man. And God just laid it to him. He got done. He shrunk into the dust. God taught him a lesson. And he repented. But even in that he'd done, he still held on to God. But God brought him past even the normal human weakness to stand in something he could not understand. I mean, after all, this was no small loss. He lost his children. He lost his wife. He lost his servants. He lost his wealth. He lost his position. He lost his esteem. And he was in such big boils all over his body, he only could lay in a heap of ashes, putrefied, smelled terrible, scraping himself every day, just running sores and putrefactions. And even the servants wouldn't come when he would call. I mean, that is what you call rejection. A lot of Holy Ghost Christians would have backslid long before that. But he did not charge God foolishly, the scripture said. He hated the day he was born, but he did not charge God. John endured on the Isle of Patmos. Prisoner. He's an apostle. Taken out on an island. Made a captive there. God gave him a vision of all the things that shall transpire in the end of the age. Paul endured whippings and received upper calling from on high, a crown of life that fadeth not away. The reformers endured much patiently. The old Pentecostal pioneers endured much. And that's the reason that many of us are here today. And we must endure also. If we endure, we'll have peace and joy and power, ministry, and we shall overcome. And if we endure, we'll have eternal reward, and we'll have life, not only in the world to come, but here. Would you stand, please? Music ministry. Please close the service.